Welcome to Accounting High.
92% of our clients are in the spicy industry. That's a nice way to say the adult industry, triple X, aka porn, strippers, sugar babies, sex workers, taboo stuff, hot girls doing hot girl things. And in a lot of cases, there is not a sexual exchange. And there's all kinds of custom requests. If your client wants you to pee in a bag of gummy bears and ship it to him.
The gummy bears and the shipping, all write-offs, not the pee.
You're catching on. I like.
Check me out right here, yo.
Yeah, right. This March Madness game is so tight. Start with the 64-team bracket. We did it right. Journey ends with that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the ABC Tournament Update, the Accountant Bracket Challenge. What's up, students?
It is March Madness.
March Aptness, sir. March Aptness, and it is underway. 1,000 total nominations.
It's pretty silly.
Books.
Yeah.
Please, students, this is your call to action. Go to abc.accountinghigh.com. Go in, vote, participate. You can win an Apple Vision Pro. Today, we're going to talk about one of our sponsors of the tournament. Byron, what is BotKeeper?
BotKeeper is an automated bookkeeping solution for your practice to offload easy, simple categorization, basic stuff that is not a good use of your team's time.
Take all of your lower level bookkeeping. You could either farm that off to the Philippines, kind of like I have, or you could farm it off to BotKeeper.
That's it. And you get the hybrid because they have humans in the loop who are supervising the technology as well as the platform that you manage all of it in. So I'm not sure how you manage the work that you outsource to the Philippines, but with BotKeeper, there's an entire platform that manages those tasks, that gives you updates as to the status of things, gives you a secure place to share information and manage all of the work that's being done.
They have a couple of offerings right now, basic and advanced. You could sign up $150 per entity per month for basic. Advanced is $251 per entity per month. Think about how much you would pay for an actual bookkeeper.
The other benefit is it's a fixed cost. A lot of our costs as firm owners are not fixed. They're variable based on the number of hours people are working, the number of inputs, but this is a fixed cost for those outputs.
Check them out, BotKeeper. It's botkeeper.com. Byron, any other tournament updates?
There's definitely some front runners. There are accounting things, personalities, apps, solutions, communities, over 200 different things that have been nominated. So guess what? Not everybody's making it onto the bracket.
No, but we will reveal the bracket before March 18th. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
Students, go in and vote at abc.accountinghigh.com. abc.accountinghigh.com. Thanks, homies.
Welcome back, Accounting High. Now it's time for social studies. We'll teach you new creative ways to market old product. If you watch how they post, you'll see it's all authentic and genuine. Grow a following and don't get held back by perfection. Be intentional online, create content. Now that's hot. Strategy is key with social media and pods. Start slow, pick up platforms, stick to it, and go post. Make a plan to engage with client watering holes. Create a focus brand, be a lead online. It's a digital world with the best ROI. Now create your own ideal client persona. Let's go. Keyword accounting high and get ready to blow. It's time for social studies, accounting content hub, LinkedIn marketing or X. So come join our social club. Is it Twitter? Is it X? Shit, now I can't keep up. So comment, follow, love. If you're into social studies, follow this show. Stay in the know. Thought lead online through networking. Like, share, repost, subscribe, YouTube, comment, engage, create, find your way.
Introducing the star of our show.
Cat Studley and Scotty.
We're going to have a problem here.
Class is in session. Yes. Catherine, thank you for joining me.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. What an intro. Oh, my God.
Awesome. I'm so happy you liked it.
I like that. That was great. What a vibe.
Dope. Oh, students, you're in for a treat. My substitute teacher, my guest here at Accounting High is the only consultant, the founder of Prisma Tax, Catherine, you can go as far back as high school as you want.
All right. Here's my story, guys. I'm from Buffalo, New York, small town girl. My father is a CPA, so I've always known. I know there's always taxes to be done, so I'll go to school for accounting. And then I know if I want to do anything else beyond accounting, everyone respects an accounting degree, even if it made me very sad while I was obtaining it.
It's the language of business, and it can be very, very boring, but we're going to talk about how you bring some fun into it as well. And
yes, with a twist. Accounting with a twist.
And so, how long ago was this when you were in college or figuring this out?
Graduated in 2017. Went the traditional route. Worked in a couple CPA firms in Buffalo. The people, you know, I liked my coworkers, but as far as like the actual work, I was like, ooh, I am not having a good time. Like,
what were you doing at these firms?
I was an intern, but I was working in the tax department. I never saw anything more complicated than a Schedule C. This is as far as I really ever made it. Maybe data entry on some business returns. But like, I really never grasped accounting, to be honest with you. Like, and I sat for a couple sections of the CPA, bombed, and I was like, you know what? This is probably not my life story. So then during the pandemic, I was locked inside by myself, and I was on social media like everyone else was every day, and I'm exploring TikTok for the first time, and I come across this platform called OnlyFans, and I'm like, what the hell is OnlyFans? So I call a girl in Buffalo who I knew had a page. I'm like, yo, what is this about? She's like, oh my God, we're making 10 grand a month. I'm like, 10 grand a month doing what? What are you doing? And she gives me the tea. And I just said in passing, I was just like, oh yeah, you know, like everything you do is a write-off. Like you can write off your lingerie. And she's like, what? And I was like, what? I was like, you don't know.
What? You didn't know that. Yeah. Your what was like, oh wow, this is common sense. This is common knowledge.
Exactly.
But it's not.
It's not. And like I said, I was only a staff accountant. I only ever learned how to do Schedule C returns. This is the only thing I really knew about taxes. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. So my first idea was I'm going to write an ebook. I'm going to sell it for $20 and make a ton of money out of it. So I did. I made the Instagram account and I made the ebook and I made the TikTok to advertise for it. And I was like, you know, hot girl tax prep. Here's the ins and outs of being self-employed. Now I'm speaking my truth. I did commission one of my old mentors from one of my CPA firms to actually write a memo on self-employment taxes because I wasn't totally sure how it worked. And then I just extrapolated on what he said and made it like hot girl friendly.
Made it fun, yeah. You put your marketing spin on it, yeah.
I'm the visionary, okay? I'm not the technical person, but I could put the pieces together. So
fair enough.
We had the ebook, and then I'm getting a little bit of traction on social media. I'm learning how it works just a hair. And people are saying, okay, we don't care about this ebook. We want you to do our taxes. I'm like, well, that's great because I'm not an accountant. Not really. And I don't have an EFIN and all of these things. But I had so many people reach out that I was like, okay, I need to find a solution. Like I need to do these taxes. So I guess I'm an entrepreneur now. Didn't mean to do that. So that was like first week of 2021. Well, first, and then I'm looking for, you know, CPAs to take this work. No one wants to touch this industry. No one wants.
Yeah, CPAs are very conservative. I've learned this in my day, and most accountants are very conservative too. This is against the rules. It's been very taboo.
And I was just like, okay, well, I just see dollar signs and opportunity. And I'm like, all right, I can kind of look into the future here because I know how accounting firms work. And I know how the internet works, and I'm watching all these people blow up and make money on TikTok. And I'm like, this is about to be mainstream, and I want to be a first mover and I want a piece of it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to interview CPAs. No one would help me. And then like as a last ditch effort, I called one of the old CPA firms that I used to work at where I had a bad time. And I was like, boys, I have a pretty interesting deal for you if you're interested in this. And they actually took the work. So they charged me a flat rate for Schedule C prep. And then I would just consult with the clients, help them organize their expenses, and essentially white label their tax work.
You were taking on a lot of this work without really knowing how the work was going to be serviced in the beginning. How scary was that for real?
I was sick. I was ill. I was literally ill. I'd post on TikTok. I'd have to go lay down on my bed. My family, my parents were so concerned about me. Like, please come home. Like,
everybody's probably looking at this as if it's like a delusion in some ways. You were pulling in all the clients. You were basically a marketing department without an actual firm.
Yeah, with no back office, with no back end. That's been my biggest problem throughout business. So initially I had no one to take the work, and that was very concerning. And I was just very, very transparent with any clients that I got. I mean, I think the first year I had 50 leads and we probably did, I don't know, 12 tax returns. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. I was still working as a barista the whole time. I was not making, I didn't make any money off of this, really. Like, it was just proof of concept, really. But
you're building out the foundation.
Yes. Well, it was more just like, see if this was really going to work. Like, does this even, like, is this even a real thing? And then it was. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. So now it was 2021 because it was the tax season that was extended because of the pandemic, which was a gift because it took me a while to get my stuff organized. But then that extra month came through and I was like, oh my God, this is a gift. Like, this, out of every year for this to happen, like, this is the year I needed this. Like, oh my God, perfect.
A little bonus then, padding, yeah.
Yes. And then I was able to update TikTok on the stimulus packages. And that's where I got a lot of my initial followers, was becoming like an educational resource on that front. But it was because it was a very unique time in the world and taxes too. So I just pretty much just like hopped on that wave and acted like I was always here, even though I really did not know what was going on, but it worked. So we squeaked by for the first year. Then people needed other things. They wanted LLCs and bookkeeping. I'm like, what did I just do? And then I was like, okay, this is interesting. So people trust me for their taxes and they trust me for other things. So I can offer other things too. I started working with a wholesaler for LLCs, and then I continued to do marketing. And then
what was the wholesaler for LLCs?
Northwest okay. Registered Service Agents. We still use them. Actually.
So they're the registered agent that's setting up the LLC. So you're not doing that. You're not practicing anything that you shouldn't be. No. You're just branding and marketing and then pulling the clients and then backfilling at this stage. You're backfilling all this instead of doing it yourself, right?
Yeah. And I still don't do anything. I mean, I only do the marketing. Well, you know what I
we
mean?
We know you have a team. We know you have a team, and I want to talk about that because you're building out your own practice. Are we at the stage where you started to partner with other firms to do this work and to handle that load? And what kind of challenges did you run into on that stage?
So for the first year, I just used the CPA firm that I used to work with. Second year, I had two sole proprietors as well as a CPA firm, because now I'm trying to see, like, okay, what am I doing here? Should I contract a CPA individually? But I know CPAs are busy, and obviously everyone else's work comes before my clients. So my stuff's getting pushed all the way to the back. I have to manage these clients. We've had their tax documents for 7 weeks and I'm begging CPAs to do the work. I'm like, oh, we need a little bit of urgency. And now at this point I started to get a little bit pressed, and it was just like a chain reaction. So the Hustle Daily newsletter found me from a reel. And then from there, Business Insider found me, New York Post, New York Times. Now I'm getting all this press and I'm still like, oh my God, I don't even have my together. This looks so good on paper. I'm ready for an influx of clients and I still don't have a back office again.
Was this your only source of revenue was tax preparation at that stage? Or were you getting paid for any consultations too?
Yes. So I did my consultations for free for that first year, but then I started to charge. People in this industry, in the spicy industry, sex work, they understand the tipping process and they're happy to tip in most cases. So it wasn't an issue. I survived off of calls for the first year. I think I made, I don't know, 25 grand. I mean, just enough to like get by. And then I was still a barista. And then the tax prep, I really was hardly making anything on.
Probably didn't know what you could charge or what the potential was.
And they're charging me out the ass. And I was just like, all right, well, you got me. They knew they got me. I don't even know how much things cost normally. So I'm only upcharging, you know, I think it was like, I don't know, $425. I'm paying them $250. I mean, $300.
Yeah,
I don't
your markup know. Wasn't, yeah.
It wasn't anything. So then in November of 2022, the managing partner of the CPA firm that I was sending the work to was like, hey, maybe we should go into business. I'm like, well, that's a great idea because I need to start my own accounting firm here pretty quick. And there's guaranteed work, as you see. So we did that. So that's when we started Prisma Tax Group. Something else I did not mention is that in 2020, I had a company called Prisma Brands, which is a social media marketing company. It was Prisma Brands. I took the same logo. I said, okay, now we're Prisma Tax. Great.
Was it funding, or what was the reason that you needed a partner, that you thought you needed a partner at the time?
I thought I needed a partner.
That's, at the time, yes.
That's the thing. I thought I needed a partner because I wasn't confident in my business acumen, because I really just wasn't. And I was like, oh my God, like I need a CPA. Someone with experience, really. I mean, I have no idea. I truly don't. So we partnered and made a lot of mistakes, a lot of rookie mistakes. We hired everyone. We hired a bunch of people, way too many people. We just hired his friends, my friends, silly, bought all these.
For what? What was everybody going to be doing?
No idea. I was just like, oh my God, a wave of work is coming. Was not efficient. And then I learned maybe CPAs are not entrepreneurial. Maybe they're just good at tech.
That's a very fair statement.
Yeah.
You thought you needed a lot of this. You hired people. You were on a train of growth too. Yeah. So next year we're going to have 1,000 returns.
Yeah.
That was the perception.
Exactly. And it's all contingent on social media. And TikTok is very, very sensitive. And then, you know, there's different ways to grow, which we can talk about too, because my clients are all influencers. So if a client has a great time and they shout me out, now I get whatever, 500 new followers, and that's all that much more exposure. So it's just anything can happen. So I felt like I needed that net. But yeah, we made a bunch of mistakes.
Listen. Safety net. So how many people did you guys actually hire?
Like 12. I mean, it was just like so unnecessary.
And what was the size of the business at this stage? Top line revenue.
Oh, I don't even know at this moment. I wasn't sure. I mean, okay. A couple hundred thousand maybe. I don't know. Like
a couple hundred thousand, 12 employees. It's over hiring, to say the least.
Way too many people. And we just hired like our friends. Like, you know, my girl who's like a hairstylist. Love her to death. Would die for her. Not appropriate to have you forming LLCs. Like, it just wasn't. You know what I mean?
This is
like,
so important for everybody to understand too, because in the beginning, when you're running a business and you're excited about it, everything's possible. You can hire your best friend to be the office manager until they don't show up on a day and you got to hold them accountable for something. How do you hold your best friend accountable for something that they're not doing?
No one takes you seriously.
No.
And we also hired my business partner's wife, and I don't want to get into it, but that's also not a good idea.
I would like to hear more about that. But this was a former business partner, right? So to give full context for the listeners, your primary audience for your brand, tell us how you handle the marketing too.
92% of our clients are in the spicy industry. That's a nice way to say the adult industry, XXX, aka porn, strippers, sugar babies, sex workers, taboo stuff, hot girls doing hot girl things. Sex work is already a very, very delicate demographic, which I'm familiar with now because I just walked into the flames and learned everything I could. And, you know, I'm taking consult calls with dominatrixes and sugar babies and strippers and anime girls and all these things. But it's very hard to translate that to the back office and make sure that everyone really has a grip on the demographic that we're working with. And client communication is different in this industry. And all of my marketing was on social media and still is. So this top of the sales funnel is TikTok. Click the link in my bio, come to my Instagram. That's where I cultivate the leads. Follow my story. I'll tell you tax tips every day. I post entertaining reels and then you'd close from there. And then I'm also traveling to every city to meet everyone as well.
You're going to conferences and you're going to different things. You're speaking as an expert and you've become the expert now too. And there's a lot of people that maybe thought this could be fun. My firm, very traditional tax firm. We do accounting, taxes. And early in the pandemic, I had a new client reach out to us. They didn't want to have their cameras on during the sales call. And it was actually husband and wife. And they had just started doing OnlyFans and they started doing very, very well. They worked at Duke University and they quit their jobs there because they were making so much money doing this. They'd never had a business before, but we had a lot of issues, you know, getting their bank account set up, which we could talk about, and all of these things, the confidentiality. They had a pretty cool vibe and everything. And I'm like, oh, wow, I want a niche doing this. I want to do only taxes or only this or have some kind of fun brand. And I was going to do that with our practice. We never actually did it. It was just a lot of talk. You started out, you did this. You created your top of funnel. You did all the work. Tell us about getting started when you first started looking at TikTok and you first had this idea. How much time did you spend trying to just grow your TikTok audience?
First, I spent 13 hours a day for 2 weeks learning how TikTok works.
13 hours a day.
Literally until like my hands hurt, my eyes were bleeding. Like I quit my job. It was like the winter. And then I purposely got myself in the hot girl algorithm. So if you only look at hot girls, it only shows you hot girls, and then it will show you to other hot girls. So then I would use the exact same trends that the hot girls were using and not see whatever you guys may or may not be looking
you
at.
You had a hot girl summer hot girl. This summer. Yeah, this was your hot girl summer.
This is a hot girl life, baby. The best.
Yeah. Hey. All right.
So I did the exact same trends that they would do. So whatever the trend was, I would do the same trend And then at the end, I would say judgment-free tax help with like the little spicy emoji. If you knew, you knew. If you read through the lines and you know what judgment-free tax help is and hot girl taxes, because you can't say a lot of things on TikTok. A lot of these social media platforms, they'll ban certain words. So even accountant is banned because the sex work community used to refer to themselves as spicy accountants, because the joke is that no one will ask you what you do if you say you're an accountant. But I actually am an accountant. And then I said I was an accountant and it would like block my page. So I've actually almost been shut down a few times because the algorithm knows.
So accountant became a sex word in the TikTok world because it was code for this.
So I have sex. To play within TikTok's guidelines and also market in a way that OnlyFans models catch what I'm throwing.
You're taking a risk by doing that too, because your whole livelihood is based on this whole intersection of sex and accounting, which was a joke in the first place because accounting is so boring. So you're probably not making a whole ton of friends in the accounting space.
Not at first. Now everyone wants to be my friend. It's so funny. It's like, oh,
yeah, isn't it?
There's all Norman before, though.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So now everybody wants to work with you. You're growing this practice and you're making mistakes along the way and you're learning from them. You thought you were stepping up into the big leagues, getting a little bit more mature. You got CPAs on the team. That ultimately didn't work out. At what point did you decide this isn't for me and why?
Honestly, within like the first 3 weeks, I was like, I think I did something bad, but I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. And now it's February 1st. We're not aligned. I thought that our staff wasn't aligned. I felt like I was compromising my brand by bringing people into this that didn't necessarily need to be. And then, so we survived tax season. That was great. But ultimately my business partner decided that he would rather sell life insurance and just stopped focusing on the business and like officially broke up, I think in July. And when we got into his emails, we saw that he was like not responding to people since like May.
This is all too common too. I guess he kind of dipped out.
Pretty much just like checked out. He was only interested. We have a 1040 machine basically. And then we have monthly subscription clients that are paying us to be like an outsourced CFO. We're doing their bookkeeping, their tax planning. They can call me whenever, whatever. So that's where he was really most focused on. Of course, that's where the money is. But like your neighborhood stripper,
she doesn't need bookkeeping.
But I mean, that's still our client base. And like, that's what we're building this whole thing off of. So there was just like a disconnect there. So he came on to do the 1040s because I do not do 1040s. And he said he doesn't want to do 1040s. I was like, well, awkward because this is a 1040 business. So I don't think this is going to work out, my guy.
Yeah. Well, this is your growth was 1040s. You had 100 1040s within the second year and you were still growing with that. And you can have a profitable business with 1040s. You have the ability to charge double what the next firm is charging because you speak their language.
Yeah. And I don't, honestly. I keep my prices pretty competitive, honestly.
You shouldn't. I'm going to give you that advice now. That's a whole nother topic and of discussion. You can probably double your prices.
I can probably triple them.
Yeah. And you can service the top 5%, the top 1% of those creators.
And I want to, but I'm also not ever going to turn my back on your neighborhood stripper.
Don't turn your back on the neighborhood stripper because she turns her back on everybody else and everybody's paying her for that.
Or listen.
Yeah. And that's part of your mission is to help these people that don't have the help. And there's not too many people reaching an arm out saying, here, I'm going to help you translate this. The two things that most people do not want to talk about is sex and money. Everybody loves sex and money, but nobody wants to talk about it. Look at you guys. You're talking about everything. Everything under the sun. You're talking about taxes. You're talking about all the taboo topics, all the scary things. Now you're now a therapist for them.
Super true. Ways. Super true. So it was very important to me that I found the right resources to refer clients out to if they start telling me things that I cannot help you with. Because at the end of the day, I really know about taxes. I can't help you decide what your rate should be for dances and for I can't help you decide how far you should go on your OnlyFans page. That is out of my scope. But my brand is the only consultant, not the only accountant. And that's by design as well, because then that lets me be a concierge for things beyond taxes as well. So now I'm referring clients out to sex work-friendly therapists, to health insurance, to life insurance, to whatever else that you may need. I'm a concierge there as well. But it's very important to me that this is always accessible to anyone under the sex work umbrella, because this is an industry that so many people have gotten rich off of and then immediately turn their back on. OnlyFans the platform, for example. In October of 2021, after they were making all these billions of dollars off of hot girls, they said, oh, I think we're going to take away sex work, nothing spicy on the platform. So they were going to do the exact same thing. And so there was so much backlash that eventually they let sex work stay.
There's so much money. So I know they took some of their U.S. operations and brought it overseas, and they did certain things to make it work.
And it's a women's issue. I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but how many females actually understand taxes? How many strippers actually understand taxes? Does anyone at H&R Block take an exotic dancer serious enough to really make sure she comprehends how self-employment tax work? Probably not.
So you're empowering them.
Well, so you're going to get a mortgage. How else are you going to get credit? How come you made $200,000 last year in cash, and that's like such a shameful thing to be embarrassed of, but the pro athletes that were throwing all the money at you are glorified, and it's amazing. Bull.
Yeah.
Bull. Sorry, Ian, I said it again.
It's a puritanical society, though, and we have to live with the understanding that, yes, under the belly, it can make a ton of money, but nobody can really talk about that. Have you run into any audits with your clients or any kind of issues or scenarios?
A couple, and it's at the OnlyFans level, actually. So they're being audited because they have a high earning 1099 from OnlyFans. I've had clients that got audited before they came to us because they wrote off like Botox and fake boobs and like every piece of clothing they ever bought, and they had to pay back like $40K. Mm-hmm. But there is no IRS guidance on this, on content creation in general, let alone sex work at this point. So
we're still all fairly new, all the content creators.
Exactly. And it's important that you understand everyone's niche, because in this industry, depending on your niche, that's how your expenses are determined. So some nuances, like for example, if you are a model in feedism, which means that you are consuming and stuffing yourself on camera, the meals, the food that you eat on camera is a supply and not a meal because it's part of your niche. Are you going to be
Back up. I thought you said feetism as in foot fetish. You said feedism? This is a thing?
Feed. Oh, you're so...
Food porn?
Scott.
I'm the one who doesn't know anything now. No. Yeah, please.
Come on. There's something for everyone. But then on the topic of feet, as in your foot, if you're getting a custom request to step on bananas and smush, you know. The bananas are a write-off. And there's all kinds of custom requests. If your client wants you to pee in a bag of gummy bears and ship it to him.
The gummy bears and the shipping, all write-offs, not the pee.
You're catching on. I like.
But not the whatever you drank to be able to pee, or maybe that's also.
It was a special request. It depends on if they said asparagus,
yes.
Before you draw the line. So, but you have to get into the nitty gritty of this, and that means you have to establish trust, and you have to truly be judgment free and take everyone seriously. Don't be an.
It doesn't sound like you made up this story of peeing in a bag of gummy bears.
No,
it sounds like this is a story.
You know who pays for this stuff? Probably conservative CPAs. Okay, because someone out here is making all these requests, and
what are they going to eat during tax season? Because if they're gummy bears, that might be a little wet or sticky. You don't want to touch those.
Listen, this is all I know. I've just told you, but yeah, there's a lot of custom requests. So there's three main groups of individuals that we're working with under the sex work umbrella. If you're going to make this an umbrella, there's content creators.
It's a prism.
It is a prism.
And prisms have three sides.
So I would say content creation, and I would batch webcam models under that as well. So that's girls that are going live on camera, and then also girls that are on OnlyFans, and then there's a million other fan platforms. OnlyFans is just the most mainstream one, but there's Fansly, Sex Panther, Loyal Fans. So this is what I would say, that's one niche. They could be potentially very new to sex work because it's just existed the last couple of years. Webcam models, exotic dancers. So that's strippers, also featured dancers. So if you're, you know, an amazing pole artist and you're traveling to all these clubs all over the country, I would batch them under that as well. We also have some other professional dancers that are doing flips on hula hoops and breathing fire and Cirque du Soleil kind of stuff, contortionism, I think. And then we have Sugar Babies, which is like a professional companion, and they're either have like either one whale of a sugar daddy or a few, and they're just professional companions essentially. So in the industry, in the sugar bowl, you would refer to the income exchange as a gift. But it's not really a gift. It's a stream of income, so it's taxable.
So Sugar Bowl is not a college football tournament, right? And this is so what they call Sugar Bowl is also prostitution. It's how are you classifying this?
Companion, professional companion. It's not okay. My business what goes on. And in a lot of cases, there is not a sexual exchange. And everyone listening is saying, oh my God, shut up. You're lying. Whatever. No, that's literally what goes on. A lot of men are lonely and will literally just pay thousands of dollars to go to dinner with a pretty girl. That's real. And that's a profession. And there's a lot of money to be made.
I noticed some of your TikToks, the ones that get a lot of views, are where you're explaining this whole sugar daddy thing, also saying, and get your sugar daddy to pay the tax bill too. So you got somebody that's going to pay your bill.
I mean, technically, I think that does become taxable income.
That becomes income for the next year, though. It's only the year that they pay the bill. So if you're doing a 2023 return, whatever they paid in 24, it becomes part of the 24, and you've already got that data. You know that.
Bingo, yeah. Baby. You see
now, on the other side of it, I'm thinking about these sugar daddies. Do they get to write this off now? Now that somebody else is claiming the income?
Depends. I've actually done in-person consultations with girls and their sugar daddies. In Vegas, just to get the
egg. Everything depends in our industry, in both industries. Yeah,
of course it depends. It depends if you have her on your payroll and you're 1099ing her as their administrative assistant. I mean, what's her job description? What's her scope? Who's writing it? Who's checking that?
Yeah,
1099er,
and then 1099er. Then you have above the board. Now you've written this off, and then she's claiming the income. IRS is happy in that. In that scenario,
case by case, though. It's super case by case.
Case by case.
Yes. I mean, I have a little pocket of paralegals that are sugar babies. So we're also.
So they work at the firm. They're paralegals, but they're also. Yeah.
I am just the accountant. It's case by case at the end of the day. Case by case.
And this girl could potentially get audited one day, and it's not like anybody's out there to help her. This guy has accountants, attorneys. He is an attorney. Everybody's out to help him. Everybody's there holding his hand all along the way. Plus, he's got his sugar situation.
And I did not realize how underserved this community was. First of all, I didn't really even know this community existed. Like, before I got into this, I went to a strip club like twice in Canada. Like, I don't know. I don't know how anything works. And then I'm taking all these calls for free for the first year. And I'm like, you have nowhere to go for anything, for mortgage lending, for insurance, nothing. And they trust me. They trust me. If they trust me with their taxes first, they trust me with anything else. And I'm very, very committed to my client base. And they know that. And that's why this works. And yeah. I ended up being friends with a lot of them, actually.
As you should. I mean, yeah. I'm friends with a ton of my clients. Yeah. People say you're not supposed to be friends with your clients, but you can be friends with your clients. You can be friends with your team. And speaking of team, let's kind of now talk about this transition. So you are in the process, or have you already bought out your ex-partner?
Oh, that was a quick buyout. I was very aggressive.
Quick buyout.
Super aggressive.
Buying him out. How did you determine the buyout price and everything there?
Honestly, this was not well planned. So yeah, I just let him come in. I'm like, yeah, I'll funnel all the clients to you. You don't have to do anything. Just stay here as a CPA and we'll split all the profits. And you get half the client list. That's how this is going to go. So that's how it started. This was actually a very...
Oh, naive, Catherine.
Oh my God, wait. So but naive. It gets worse, but then it gets better so fast.
Cool.
We never signed the operating agreement, which means that when it was time to buy out, the buy-sell agreement that I drafted is law now. So that was actually a very close call for me.
You're sitting here footing the bill of your practice. Prisma Tax is now 100% owned by Catherine Studley. How many... clients at this stage? What's your top line at this stage?
I don't even know exactly how many clients we have. I mean, last year we did just over 300 returns, but then we have clients that we're working with on a monthly basis and people we're doing LLCs for. We're setting up a CRM right now. So I'll have
year three, you're doing about 300. You go from 10 to 100 to 300.
Yep. And now it's all my problem, right? And he stopped answering his emails. So now all these notices are coming in, payroll notices, issues. And I, again, I'm left with no back office. This was July of 2023. So I'm like, here we go again. How is this continuing to happen to me?
I don't know. I sense a theme. You tend to jump into things and then figure them out on the back end, right? That's why it keeps happening.
There's only one way into a pool and it's not the stairs. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. You got to dive in. And learn how to swim.
If you want to do anything in business, I would say move quick and be aggressive and trust your intuition.
That's the best information I've gotten on this show. That's the best advice anybody can talk about when it comes to marketing or building a brand. You have to go in and make mistakes. That is the only way, because you can overthink everything and you can think about all the potential pitfalls. And at the end of the day, the only way you're going to learn is by diving in.
That's it. And so at this point, I'm like, well, here we go. I can't stop now. So I had two part-time administrative assistants. And once we split everything and after the attorney's bills and everything else, I had $10,700 left in the account. And I had probably $10,000 left in my only consultant account. So I really pretty much am drained again for funds. All these bills, all these notices. And so I did the only thing I knew what to do. I just went on tour. I just started traveling cities and setting up meetings with accountants and see if anyone would help me. And my boyfriend at the time has a very nice accountant in Long Island who's very understanding. And I was like, here's my story. I really need to contract someone. I will. So now I changed it. I said, okay, I will pay you a percentage of the tax return fees. So now it's super, super fair. So if it increases based on complexity, you get a cut of that. So that was very attractive. So he saved my life over the summer. He handled these notices. And then, so he was the only person I had from the whole month of August. And then I put an ad on LinkedIn and said that I'm looking for accountants. And by the grace of God, I found another accountant, a tax manager who's in Houston. And she's super on brand. She's got 10 years of experience. She's looking to do something non-traditional. And she's like, well, okay, like I want to do this. So she started working with us for a couple months and then ended up quitting her full-time job in October. And then she had a friend who worked at that firm who also was not having a great time. So now she came over. And then on that same trip in Long Island, when I met the accountant, I also randomly met this tech genius who I pitch in my idea. I says, oh my God, I have been praying for an accountant. I have all of these ideas to build infrastructure and network security for an accounting firm, but I have no one to do it for. I said, oh my God, please help me. Like, what the hell? So we had a handshake deal that I tip him out a percentage of all the future tax preparation for the 2023 tax season that we're in right now. So he put in 200 hours for free just on a handshake deal and build our whole infrastructure. So we own the whole thing. We own the virtual machines. We own the cloud. We're not paying for anything. And it's all.
You're saying this like a true service worker tipping out. You're tipping them out at the end. Like everything is real, real life. You're building a firm practice and you learned the power of social media early. So you realized through LinkedIn that this is another platform that you can use and leverage for your brand. And look at that, you're finding accountants now too.
Yes. So now on LinkedIn, so I spent a couple months not asking LinkedIn for anything, just building up the brand. Honestly, if you look at my LinkedIn, I'm making some posts. I'm a little more vulnerable with the world than I really care to be. I'm telling them about how I'm embracing my femininity in business and what that means to me. And
that's what people love that on LinkedIn. You've got to be vulnerable. And you're being vulnerable on this show. You're running a business and you're scared. And you're doing things and you're just going by the seat of your pants sometimes. But that's okay. Because at the end of the day, now you have something that you could really be proud of. You built it with blood, sweat, and tears. I'm sure there was a lot of tears.
Brick by brick.
What do your parents have to say about this now?
Oh, they're so worried about me. They still are.
They still are?
Oh, yeah. They're just like, why are you being like this? Like, just please come home and like be normal. My mom like sends me food in the mail. She's like, are you okay? I'm sending you soup. I'm like, oh my God, is this what it looks like?
Wait, she's sending you soup. So you got one person sending gummy bears and pee and the other one sending soup. What? Who takes liquid these days in the mail?
Amazon will ship anything, I guess.
Okay. I know you can't fly with all this liquid, so you definitely have to be shipping it. Yeah.
Okay. But just to be clear on the gummy bears, you soak them in pee first, you drain the pee, and then you ship them. So you're not... I hate to get that.
You saved me. All right. I was going to be working this through my head. Like, do the gummy bears float and then does he have to drain it at the end? Yeah. So.
No, drain before. I'm like, Mom, I don't know how to say this. Like, I'm going to be a multimillionaire. And she's like, I don't know, Catherine. Like, it just doesn't seem like it right now. Like, I'm like, well.
Catherine, what do your parents do? What's their profession?
So my father's a CPA.
He's not signing any of these returns for you?
No. He's like, good luck. I don't know who's going to help you with this. Because he's like an old school CPA, right? He's like, good luck. And my mom's a nurse. And, you know, they both had the same job for like 25, 30 years, small town, conservative people. But they made the mistake of like letting me believe I can do anything. And now I just did.
Okay. From the beginning, you've had a marketing mindset and then you're creating opportunities and you went after it. So right now, your team, are they preparing the taxes in-house?
Yes. Four tax preparers, mm-hmm. EAs, CPAs are just people that have like 10 years of experience.
Yeah.
Then we just last week hired a full-time business operations manager.
Oh.
She's going to change our whole life. She's a powerhouse. She's got three screens. She's like command center Prisma Tax. I'm like, thank you, God.
Is she in Houston?
No, she's in Virginia Beach.
Oh, wow. So you're finding people everywhere.
People find me, baby.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you put your signs up. You set your signs up so they can find you.
Yes. So I built everywhere. LinkedIn first. I built up LinkedIn. I did things that I knew would get, you know, 30,000 impressions, even though it's like at, is it at my expense? Is that the word? Kind of. I mean, it's me putting my soul onto the internet. So people know me first.
Again, that goes back to why you started to feel a little bit of resentment when you were building this with a partner and realizing, wait, I'm doing everything. I'm doing all the work. Why do I need to split all of this halfway?
I'm boots on the ground with clients. I'm at your neighborhood strip club getting dances, even though I'm so uncomfortable. I don't even know how to act, but they love it.
Yeah, but you're also on TikTok, not looking uncomfortable at all, and you're dancing for them. You're dancing for the dancers.
Yes, exactly. And
that takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of hard work to try to intentionally build a brand like that. And you started to see early senses and whiffs of like, ooh, this could be something when you've got New York Times reaching out to you and others reaching out to you. Like this is now like, I can't quit.
And I can only be more aggressive and take the whole industry. There's no other option. Why would I not?
Yeah.
But I end up in bizarre situations all the time, Scotty. I got to let you know.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, though. You put yourself in a position to be in a bizarre situation. Our listeners know I've been in many, many bizarre situations, but it always turns out that it was by design or accidentally on purpose. Whatever you may think that you got yourself into by accident, it was on purpose. You know, you made all those decisions. You're the one getting in your own way, and you're the one who has to learn through your own mistakes. Share one of the biggest mistakes that you think you made out of all this.
Oh my God, what a great question. Definitely partnering too early, paying everyone way too much. Paid everyone so much. I bent a lot when I didn't have to because I'm the business owner and I feel like I was catering to everyone around me, clients, contractors, employees, and it's at my expense at the end of the day. I'm like, wait, I'm driving this whole thing. Why am I doing this for you? Like, you need to work with time that works for me.
But did you undervalue what your role was?
Definitely, yes. Because at first, no one took this seriously. So I thought, okay, I do have to bend to everyone. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Your clients are still doing it in some respects. Bending over for everyone.
All the time. Good one.
You gotta learn, are you bending over for them? Or how do you create boundaries between your clients? Because that's one thing that we all have to deal with, regardless of the industry, but you've created a really safe space.
Yes. But sex workers understand boundaries. That's if you're a dancer and you don't want someone to touch your boobs, then you have to have your own clear boundaries and you need to understand boundaries. So actually, this industry, it's much easier to set boundaries with. Oh. And they'll ask me, what are your boundaries? So one thing is that I'm not accessible. I do not give clients my phone number. I call them only if they schedule a call through my link and you have to pay for it every time. And I call you from a Skype number and you cannot talk to me otherwise. The call is exactly 25 minutes long. When the clock strikes 25 minutes, that's it.
Probably a benefit of your niche that you picked.
Yes. And also I have a link in my bio where I have a Cash App, a link to my Cash App and a link to my Venmo. If you want to ask me a question in my DMs, you need to tip me as you would on
a
platform or at the club. I don't do anything for not a tip. Clients get their tips up front. So do I.
Oh, that's even like, our listeners get calls from their clients at their kids' soccer game. They're not getting any tips. They're not getting paid for any of that.
No. And they're not billing for it. And that's how you get burnt out. And I did this for the first year. I answered every single comment, every message, everything. And I was like, this is not sustainable. But I learned this because I booked a call with the sex work therapist who I refer clients to. And she was like, you need to reevaluate everything. So I think it takes a different mindset too. It's not something that a traditional business CPA firm would really have. But that's one thing, is that I'm not accessible. Yeah. And that greatly helps. I also meet clients directly where they are though. And I'm very empathetic. So I'm in Telegram group chats. If you want to talk on Telegram, I'll talk to you on Telegram. And if you're really scared and you don't want to talk on the phone, we can just text the whole time. And if you're really, really worried about me knowing your name, you can sign an NDA. We have NDAs just in case you want to be extra safe. That's fine. I'm very compassionate with clients. And the first 5 minutes of the call is usually them venting so much about how upset they are and they're ashamed. They don't know how taxes work and they're 3 years behind. But, you know, I just reassure them that I've done hundreds of consults and everyone's in the same boat. Like, you don't have to be concerned about this. Like,
no judgment.
We say no judgment and we mean it. And I vet the out of the people I work with, my contractors. They have to take a sex trafficking course, first of all, to be able to spot sex trafficking in financial statements. And I make them meet with this therapist who's a former dominatrix, and she rips them apart. And I say, good, do it. Get to their core with them. Because this is not a normal industry. And if we say we're safe and judgment-free, that's real. Let me find out that you snicker at someone when they tell you what their niche is. I'll fire you on the spot. I don't care.
Yeah.
The integrity of this has to stay. Otherwise, it doesn't work. But then in that same breath, because this is how I have greeted clients, they have been so loyal and patient with me back. They know it's a show. It's not a, you know, you can tell on social media, oh, I got a partner. Now I don't. I'm here. And, you know, I meet
them. But you're the constant. You're being transparent about it. You're being honest. If you're still showing up, that's what they care about.
Exactly. And I do. And they know that. And I will help anyone figure out what needs to get done.
So your business now, give me some numbers. How many people do you have total? What's the top line? What are your expectations for this tax year?
Seven of us. Eight, seven. Including me.
Yeah.
Four tax preparers, a full-time business manager, our CTO, a tech intern. I anticipate 500 clients, I think more though. If I can really focus on the marketing, I mean, the sky's the limit, but I want to be realistic. I don't want to grow too soon. Another thing about boundaries is that if you come in April 1st, you're going on extension, no further discussion. Same thing March 1st for business returns, no further discussion. So we're busy until June with that because sure. Our clients don't really care about taxes until last minute. What am I expecting as far as revenue? I don't even know. We got to look at all these things. There's too many moving parts, honestly. We just switched all of our systems over to Zoho. I don't know if anyone's familiar
with
that.
Yeah.
Very good platform. So we're moving everything. We were operating first in ClickUp, which is just project management. It's not a CRM. We're trying to run everything out of it. So now that we're in Zoho.
Zoho was made to be a CRM first before everything else. Yeah.
CRM, it's great. So now I think very, very soon here, we'll actually be able to get some like real data on where we stand and what's possible, like the percentage of closing these deals, getting a little bit more organized, having a full-time business manager. Oh my God, I'm so excited. It's going to be great.
I bet. Yeah. Because that's another half of your brain that you may not have to use as much now.
Oh my God. Yes. I just forward her everything and she handles it. I'm like, wow, is this how like other businesses work? It doesn't have to be me.
And let me tell you, it definitely is. I've been experiencing that. And that's also, it, sometimes maybe I felt guilty that everybody else was doing the work, the stuff that I found that I didn't want to do anymore. Do you feel guilty that you have people doing all that stuff for you?
Yes.
That you used to stress over.
Yes. I used to wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and have like a panic attack like 3 times a week. Because it's like the pressure of this is just immense. But that was maybe like a year and a half ago and over the summer during the buyout. But I've been pretty, pretty good since. It is a lot of guilt initially, but also I'm like, wait, I'm paying you a salary. I guess this is what people do. So maybe I'll just chill and let you do it.
Yeah, that's hard to do. It's hard to chill if you're not somebody that doesn't have natural chill because you're ambitious and you want to do more and you want to grow. At some point, you got to respect yourself too and be proud of yourself for what you built and slow down. Do you sense that you're slowing down at all, or are you still running at top speed?
It starts with the counting. I'm going to do 15 more things off of this. So the only consultant is the hub in the middle.
The middle of the spoke, yeah. Spokes come out from there.
Spoke.
Right.
There's a whole suite of services that exists.
Now, what's your plan on further deepening the niche? Are you going to go after the most profitable people, or like the most, the top of that, like the top 1% of the creators, or are you still servicing everybody in this future?
Everyone. Of course I want the top. Of course we all want to work with high wealth individuals. Duh.
That's those have to be the hottest too, right? If they're the top percent of OnlyFans creators.
I am the sexiest client list. I'll tell you that for sure. So that's who was going to support us as far as monthly salaries go, because that's who's going to be working with us on this monthly subscription. Eventually, what's going to probably have to happen is we're going to have to cap it, right? Say, okay, we can only take whatever, 1,500 returns, first come, first serve, pay your deposit down if you're here, you're not. Then I have a course, but we haven't really done anything to sell it. But I think that there's a world as well where if you are not making a ton of money and you want to prepare your own returns, you could pay $100 for my course and at least learn the nuances of the spicy industry.
The funniest part about all of this is you started as just a course.
An ebook.
Yeah.
A memo that I paid someone $100 to write, and I added pictures.
You added pictures. That was it. Do you currently have two businesses that you're running and that are both getting paid and you're paying taxes on both?
So the only consultant is where all the referrals come from. So if I send someone to whatever Gusto or a payroll service or health insurance or whatever, and they form an LLC and there's a kickback, it goes to the only consultant. So that's what I was living off of when Prisma was like going to over the summer when all the money was gone. I was living off of like referrals and tips. If you tip me, it goes to the only consultant. And then Prisma Tax is where all of like the work gets done. That's where we're paying the contractors out of, but the only consultant and like that is like non-negotiable. No one can ever have equity in that except for me. Prisma Tax, I mean, we'll see how this goes. I'm open to equity and profit share or whatever, but the only consultant is me, my identity, my face. So yeah, I have two businesses.
Is it your silhouette or is that just stock that you pulled somewhere?
So it started as stock and then I had a graphic designer make the heels higher and the fatter.
Ah, so you turned it into you.
Yes.
So exactly. It is, and I'm talking about the Only Consultant brand, which is a play on the OnlyFans brand too. You took what they did and turned it into a businessy approach. Brilliant, genius. I love it. Don't get by taxes. Do you have any other competitors that you've seen out there?
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of people who existed out here before me, but quite small. Not as aggressive. And then, yeah, there's other accounts that are around. Like I was at some of these events and there was another accountant who had a booth, but the differentiator is I'm the secret sauce. Are the other accountants meeting you exactly where you are? I don't know.
Yeah. I've had accountants listeners reach out to me that have sort of brands like that. And every single one of them are traditionally just CPAs that kind of stumbled upon it because they got one or two clients and then they saw that as a niche, but they're not out there marketing themselves or anything. So all of their marketing and branding is typically just words. It's not like they're going on TikTok and making videos or anything like that. I think I see where you fit into this niche because they see themselves in you too.
Yeah, we're the same age. I mean, now I'm like their older sister.
Tell me about the different strategy that goes into the different platforms and how many platforms do you focus on?
Great question. So my main platform is Instagram. That's where I really cultivate my leads. It's where all my clients are. That's where my followers are most likely to become clients and most likely to close them, I think, there. I'm there every day. That's where I post like my main tax facts. If you look at the pinned post, it's everyone's questions. That's like the hub. TikTok I'm on. That's just like the lead generator, really. It's like for like quick facts just to catch you. And
you're not like making money on TikTok or anything like that. What you're doing is that's your funnel. That's your top of funnel and you send them to Instagram.
Exactly. Yes. And sometimes I am on TikTok a lot and sometimes I'm not on TikTok for 3 months. But what's great about TikTok is that you don't have to build up engagement. Whereas Instagram, if you're quiet on Instagram, it's going to be hard for you to get everyone's attention again. TikTok doesn't give a if you post something great and you haven't been here for 3 months, you can still go viral and then suddenly everyone cares about you again.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've heard about TikTok. The algorithm is a little bit more friendly to really good content. Whereas if you can make something really, really good on LinkedIn or Instagram, you still have to really build up that engagement and the following and the comments, and it's a grind.
It's
you got to stay consistent on those.
Yes. I am on Twitter/X, and it's only because there's a lot of sex workers on the platform. So I have like 100 followers. I'm hardly ever posting on there, but that's where a lot of creators will DM me if they want. They're like, hey, I heard about you. That's just like where they hang out. So I just have to be there.
So you have a signpost up there. You have something up there, and you occasionally like...
I post my travel notices, like if I'm going to be in LA and Vegas, then so you know we can get a coffee or whatever. Yeah. And then separately, I'm also on Telegram. I'm in a couple influencer group chats. So they'll.
So I heard you mention Telegram, and I've never used Telegram. I don't think I've ever even heard of it. What's Telegram?
It's a chat. It's a chatting app. I never heard of it either until I had a client who was like, come into my Telegram group chat. I'm like, okay. So it's Russian. So there's not a lot of rules. You can post all kinds of things. A lot of sex workers, drug dealers hang out on Telegram, among other things. But I mean, I just say that to say Telegram, all kinds of stuff going on there. So not at all. They'll have group chats. So I have like one client who's an OnlyFans coach, and she runs a Telegram group chat. I think it's $500 one-time buy-in via Cash App. And then you get access to this chat and all of her resource rooms. So she'll have one room that's like all, you know, articles that'll help you grow your following and how to talk to your clients.
And then your watering holes that you've poked around in.
Yep.
Dope.
Exactly. So wherever you are, I'm
meet
there.
You where you're at. Yeah.
Meet you right where you are.
Putting your signs up. Only consultant here, 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 here. And then you've got LinkedIn. I didn't hear Facebook at all.
I'm on Facebook. It's my personal Facebook. I never made a business one. And I'm only in stripper Facebook groups. So there's a couple that's like where your neighborhood stripper comes in. That's where strippers are a lot of times. So I'm in there. I'm in those group chats too. Those groups, again, like I'm very vulnerable, right? Like this is my real Facebook. This is the picture my mom posted of us at lunch. And you guys all can see that. This is really me. So there's like a level of transparency there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're trying to hide what you do to your parents or anybody in your life. So, but you can still be real and authentic. And I think that's who you are on LinkedIn too. I'm pretty sure that's how I found you, but I'm pretty sure I saw the New York Times article first. Somewhere, and then slowly, and then I was like, I got to get her on the show. So LinkedIn, you're on there. I met some other colleagues that we both know, Shannon Weinstein. I was just meeting with her. I'm on her site, and then I see Catherine Studley listed on there as one of somebody that she's outsourcing people to or sending out like referrals.
Yep. So I didn't really have a plan for LinkedIn. I was just like, I know I need to be here, but I just started posting a little bit about like what the business does. And then I started posting more about like who I am, because everyone wants to know, how'd you get here? Who is this girl? What's going on? And then a place to like plug all my podcasts that I'm on and articles and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, the goal of LinkedIn is to find good talent and connections for future business development.
Basically. I think that's it. Finding talent for you, because it's not like your strippers are going to be on LinkedIn, but you do make some posts for the sugar babies on LinkedIn on occasion.
Sugar daddy.
You're trying to keep it sweet, trying to keep it spicy.
Just a little sprinkle. Because listen, LinkedIn.
The sugar daddies are on LinkedIn though.
Oh, the sugar daddies are listening right here, right now. And I need you guys to know that I see you, I'm on to you, and I'm not mad, but I see you.
Well, they potentially become clients for their sugar babies, right? They want the best for their sugar babies. The sugar bowl. You're in the sugar bowl with them.
I'm in the sugar bowl. And listen, sugar daddies are very successful businessmen. And they sometimes have very good advice to share with me when I'm meeting with them and their sugar baby. It's not a bad networking opportunity in itself. I don't judge anyone. I'm not judging the sugar baby. Much like a sugar daddy.
But that's also part of the new world that we're in right now. The generational shifts that we've seen because of social media and how our parents separated work and life. And they had everything separate. And you had to be a different person at work. You showed up and covered up your tattoos. And you didn't show anybody you were out drinking on Facebook. You couldn't talk about that. You couldn't talk about going out and partying. And everything was separate. Well, in the last 10 years, we've seen that blow the f- up. That people doesn't exist anymore. That's clients
trust me more if I do an edible with them. It's good for everyone. I want to take Bravo and so do they. Great.
That's part of this next generation is they have no separation between anything in their lives. They're going into it saying, well, yeah, I want to earn money. I want to make money, but I don't have to do it your way. I'm going to do this a different way and I'm going to make it fun and I'm going to be friends with my clients and I'm going to do things and I'm going to go out and I'm going to party, but I'm also going to help them. And it's a way to make a living. It's a way to make a life.
It is. Just be true to who you are and what you're about. I'm still me all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a personal brand. And then you're leveraging that for your business, for your personal business too.
Exactly. Like I would love to do speaking engagements later.
Exactly.
Come on.
All right. Dope.
Come on.
All right. I'm going to ride us out. Students, reach out to Catherine if you have any questions. She has boundaries. Tip her. If you're going to go reach out to her on LinkedIn, you better have a Cash App ready.
And you got to pay to network with me. I got a link. And I'm not sorry. And you know what? Everyone I sit with has paid. So
learn from her. Learn from her. She knows how to set boundaries and she knows how to make some money. This has been dope. Peace out, homies.
Peace out.
May I have your attention, please?